Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast, where our mission is to help hosts share their space and live their dream. This episode is sponsored by our free Airbnb Startup Essentials Checklist. Our comprehensive Airbnb Startup Essentials Checklist will take the guesswork out of what you'll need to finally get your Airbnb off the ground. You'll have the confidence to do that thing you've always wanted to do. Get started today sharing your space and living your dream by visiting our website, thanksforvisiting.me, and that's for F-O-R, and signing up for your free Airbnb Startup Essentials Checklist. Again, this is free, so hurry up and get your copy today. Now on to the episode.
You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every successful short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, this dynamic duo has welcomed more than 2,000 guests from 25 countries, earning them over $500,000 and garnering them over 650 five-star reviews. Now they're ready to share creative ways for your listing to stand out, to serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry, or Annette and Sarah will share stories about their own experiences so you can implement actionable improvements to your own rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Here are your hosts, Annette and Sarah.
Hello and welcome to another great episode of Thanks for Visiting. I am one of your hosts, Sarah Karakayan.
And I am Annette Grant.
And together we are
Thanks for visiting.
We say it twice. We like it.
Oh, yes, we do. You guys, we always say we're excited, but to be quite honest, this podcast would not be here today
without today's guest.
Without our guest, Cody Boyce. Welcome to the show, Cody.
Thanks for having me. No, you guys are too nice.
No, seriously, you guys.
Too kind.
I'm going to admit, Sarah and I are, well, I'm nervous because I'm podcasting with Cody, but let's tell you who Cody is. Cody is our podcast producer.
Wait, you need to tell our listeners how you found Cody. Yeah. Not how you met him, but how you found him.
I found Cody in a co-working space over a year ago via his Wi-Fi network. I love the names of Wi-Fi networks, so I always pay attention to them. Because I really love the catchy ones and witty ones. And I saw one that said Podcast Master.
Yes.
And I was getting into podcasts, really want a podcast. I'm like, oh my gosh. And I had a podcast. I'm like, I need to meet the Podcast Master. Started just kind of yelling it out in the co-working space because it's a co-working space, but I knew it was a private Wi-Fi. And I just started yelling, Podcast Master, Podcast Master.
Yeah,
and
this is a typical Annette. Like, this is normal Annette.
And then, he has his own office and it said Podcast Master. And I knocked on the door, said, we need to be friends. And here we are over a year later. And he produces our podcast. He's the reason Sarah and I are here with all of our amazing episodes, with our show notes, our art, all of the above. His whole entire team, though. Now I know his whole team. That's how close we've gotten. But check them out. It's Crate Media. But it gets better. We did some bartering and Cody was helping me with podcasting. I was helping him with Airbnb.
Yes, indeed.
But this got off to kind of a rough start with Airbnb. So Cody, do you want to tell our listeners about our rough start?
Yeah. So my wife and I travel quite a bit and I had been wanting to Airbnb for a while. I didn't know exactly what to do. Once I started talking with Annette, she made it sound really easy. And then I jump on the website to set up a profile for our apartment. And it is really easy.
Yes.
It literally took me like 15 minutes. I had to take a few pictures and that was basically
which is amazing, so, but also scary at the same time.
A little
time.
Scary, yeah. Anybody can just be like, here
right.
we go.
And Cody did not
come into our trailer house.
He didn't even put, there were some things that Cody did that I'm not an advocate for, but he made it happen. He put up some photos of just the apartment complex, like, that he lives in there, like,
oh yeah, people do
stock
that.
Photos, but it was the exact unit, so it wasn't that bad of a fib, and it did look similar. His design very
not
well.
Not misleading anybody.
No.
I was just too lazy.
Yeah, well, and he didn't think, hey, someone's going to book immediately. So I was in his office, he set up his Airbnb. I checked back a day or so later.
Yeah.
And what happened, Cody?
And we got a booking like right away, and I was like, oh, that was easy.
Right.
Everything seems to be going well. Let's go out of town and make a couple extra bucks while we're gone. And then I go home and to find out that my wife not only canceled the booking, She deleted the entire Airbnb
just in case.
Just she was nervous about it. She like, you know, didn't want to book and got cold feet and literally deleted our entire account.
She didn't have the formal consultation with myself. I would have put her at ease.
Yeah.
Cody and I kind of went, you know, full steam ahead on
that. I like to do things very quickly. I'm like, this sounds like a good idea.
Let's just do it.
Boom, here we go.
I like that sound.
So they canceled the guests. They pulled their Airbnb listing. And then I met his beautiful wife. We started talking more and more. And I think I comforted her a little bit in that it would be okay.
Yes.
They are back on Airbnb.
Account is still active.
Account is active. They have not canceled any other guests to my knowledge, because that's a big no-no for Sarah and I. But
almost had to once.
You did.
I'll explain that. I'll talk about it later.
Okay. This is a controversial episode already.
Okay, yeah. But they're back on. They, like Cody said, they travel a lot for work. They're like, wait a second. We know our dates ahead of time. They have a perfect location, the perfect setup, one bedroom, downtown Columbus. It's kind of a no-brainer for them. And they're working more and more out of town, want to do a dual residency. So like, hey, this is what we, you know, let's try this. And I think, you know, Sarah and I were talking about before the show, this is where Airbnb started, you know, that people heading, you know, having an extra room or heading out of town and just kind of renting it while they were away. So we feel like Cody and Nina, they're like the norm.
The quintessential.
Yeah, the quintessential Airbnb host.
But so, I feel like it's almost just as scary as buying a property exclusively for Airbnb. That's a really big commitment. But so is like leaving all your private stuff in a place and having strangers check in while you're out of town.
That's true.
So it's not, I mean, I get where she was coming from.
We're on location. We didn't say that.
We didn't.
We're on location at the podcast or at Crate Media's studio / office. And
it's kind of Rogue Squadron studio.
Okay. Rogue Squadron is.
I mean, if you look around, it's mostly Star Wars and not much podcast.
So, and Cody will have a Star Wars themed Airbnb by the time Sarah and I are done with him in a couple of years.
For real.
Yeah.
No. All right. So,
okay. Sorry.
The wife is on board now.
Yes.
We list, they've got some business trips coming up. They release the dates.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. They're booked.
Yeah.
Correct. They went a little low, in my opinion, on their initial pricing, but we've learned they're upping it. They wanted to get those initial, just like any, I think this is something, this is actually a tip for everybody. I know when you first list, you really want to get guests. Please don't lowball yourself though. Like I'd say go high, especially again, depending on your situation. But if you've got a little bit of time before you are leaving for out of town, start it where other super hosts in your area
be on
are.
Market.
Yeah. Don't dilute the market with this super lowball price. And honestly, if you're not going to be in town and this is just something that's like, if it's your mortgage or rent that you're paying each month and you're already covering that, make it worth your while to bring a guest in. I don't want anybody to be out of town and they have an issue or something like that going on for a couple of extra bucks. Make sure that it's worth your while when you do that.
Yeah. To be fair, I was rocking the smart pricing for a while.
And we,
I
was surprised when I turned that on and it was that low. I was like, that's interesting for this area.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it'd be like double that.
Go ahead.
It is controversial because I think when it's smart pricing and you're new to the platform, of course they want to get that traction.
And they will give you some Airbnb juju, as I like to call it.
Oh, okay.
Yes. It's like that. It's just like any other SEO, right? Like it helps. They want you to use their product. They want you to...
And they want to like, you know, wet your whistle, if you will. You know,
they want to get the new listings booked.
Mm-hmm. Get you excited about hosting.
Which is smart. It works.
Yeah. No, it does work. And I think... At the same time, you can always, if you still want to use smart pricing, you can adjust what your base price is. We're going off tangent a little bit.
I know.
Which I have done after Annette's advice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So we get our first initial bookings. And if you guys know Cody, he's in the tech industry. Automations are everything to him. And Sarah and I want to learn from him. And we are absolutely blown away by, he doesn't host that much, but he has the details and the automations and he even has a co-host down.
Yeah.
So talk to us about these automations and your first booking and how now it's just kind of been on autopilot, if you will.
Yeah.
And you've just dialed it in pretty quickly.
Well, because really quick, Cody, because like last week, when did we see you last? It was like a week ago or less than that.
Thursday.
Okay. We were drinking wine and beer. And it was sunny out. It was great. And Cody was just mentioning casually that like, you know, he automated his Airbnb and I was like, no, I've automated my stuff, but I like subscribe to things that cost money each month for me to do that.
Yeah.
And what I love about Cody's situation is because I know we have listeners who are casual Airbnb hosts, part-time Airbnb hosts, or you have one Airbnb and it doesn't make sense to subscribe to something. And I was like, wait, Cody. And I actually had just put a questionnaire out on my Instagram saying, what questions do you have about hosting that I'm not answering and that you want more of? And a few people said, how can I go away for a weekend and know that my Airbnb can run itself? Mm-hmm. And I was like, wait, Cody's figured this out.
Yes.
So now, okay, no, please tell us what you've done.
Well, I've basically been living in Zapier for a couple months for, you know, stuff that we do in the business, trying to get that as streamlined as possible.
Can you explain what that is? Yes.
Yeah, Zapier is an automation tool. So it basically syncs up a bunch of your different apps like Google Drive and Gmail and docs, whatever. And you can make functions and make triggers. So say every time I get an email from this person, I want Zapier to make it a PDF and add it to this Google Drive folder, things like that. So I spent a lot of time in there trying to optimize stuff. And once we did the booking on Airbnb, had a couple guests, things were going smoothly. I wanted to basically just take that off my plate entirely. So it was a little complicated, but basically I have everything triggering from the booking confirmation email that I get from Airbnb. And based on the information in the email, it adds a calendar event to our calendar, which is shared with our co-host who does all the cleaning and flipping for us. And then it will set up reminders like 3 days before they check in, just reminding our co-host that that's going to be happening and they have to flip it for the next person. It will send the check-in instructions to the guest 3 days before they check in. Same with checkout instructions. All that stuff is automated. So I have it down to the point where basically the only thing that we have to do manually is review the guest after they've checked out.
Nice. Couple of questions.
So many questions.
Is Zapier free?
I believe it has a free plan to start.
Okay.
They structure everything based on how many different triggers you have and how many times those run every month.
Is it similar to If This Then That?
Yes, a little more robust, I think.
Okay.
I haven't used that in a while.
And is it sending emails and text messages to your co-host and guest or just emails?
It adds a calendar and that calendar event then automatically has a reminder built into it. But then I also send an email follow-up beforehand. I haven't messed with any like text reminders yet.
Okay.
Which would be nice, actually.
Okay.
Good call.
Interesting.
So, okay. If the listener is not tech savvy, I used air quotes, is Zapier easy to navigate at first?
For some things, yes. For example, the stuff that they have built in with Drive and Gmail is really easy because everybody uses that. They don't have any Airbnb functionality. So I basically had to build out some steps from the email that I get.
Mm-hmm.
So that one was a little more complicated, but because I had been screwing around in Zapier so much, it made it a little bit easier.
Which, and I hope Cody is cool with this, but what I would love to do is get your genius on a piece of paper.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that our listeners can download this PDF.
Yeah, for sure.
And make this happen for yourself.
Huge value, because when you were setting all this up, how long do you think it took to set up the commands?
Probably like 3 or 4 hours.
Okay.
Whoa.
So yeah, this
PDF experience
is going to be
value packed.
Very valuable. But with that being said, the time that it's probably saved him on the other side of that is invaluable.
Because there was a time when I would be like, you know, out with friends. And yes, I have a person turning over my properties, but let's say, you know, the morning after a guest checks in, I want to say, hey, how's everything going? I did that manually. And they would say, hey, everything was great. And I would always be on my phone. Didn't matter where I was, what I was doing. I'm always on my phone. Whereas now you figured out a way where like you can at least get the routine stuff automated.
Yeah. The important thing I think was just having a co-host lined up that is in town, willing to do it, able to help out, has a flexible schedule. And our friend that's doing that for us, you know, we send a cleaning fee straight to her for every listing.
Ooh.
And she's just been really great. And she has a very flexible schedule, which is nice. So because of that, we can basically put everything else on autopilot and not have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about her.
Yeah, let's definitely, because I think everybody out there who's listening or has a family member with a work situation like Cody's and his wife, but talk about your co-host, because I think everybody else out there might have a living situation like you and then a friend like your co-host.
Yeah, she actually approached us about wanting to step in and do it. So when we were setting this up, I was looking into some cleaning services and I think I was on Angie's List and this website called handy.com or something. And when we mentioned it to some of our friends that we were doing it, she actually came forward and she was like, I love cleaning for some reason and this would be fun and I want to make some extra money. So we just kind of set it up based off that.
Listeners, everyone has a friend that loves to clean, believe it or not. And everybody's got a friend or family member that needs to have some extra cash. So you don't really need to go that far. Just start talking about what you're doing and hands will be raised in here.
I was surprised, honestly. Yeah. I felt weird about it. Like having a friend clean our place.
Okay.
Felt a weird, little bit weird at first, but I mean, she's super optimistic about it. She likes it.
Cool.
Yeah. She enjoys it. So
let's talk about another learning curve that you guys had in the beginning, because this is a really good tip for our listeners. I went over to Cody and Sarah and I always talk about doing a mock stay.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do a full-on mock stay at their place since they had me, which I feel like an expert. So I didn't need to stay the whole night to kind of give them some tip-offs. Talk about error number one that could have been a disaster had you not done a run-through.
So,
what is it?
Okay, so I made a couple copies of our apartment key.
Okay.
At Home Depot, Lowe's, whatever. And I was like, it's a copy of the key. It must work. It's the same thing.
Right.
I left those in our lockbox outside. And then Annette shows up to do the fake walk-in walkthrough and opens the lockbox and then can't get into the apartment.
They didn't work.
Listeners, they did not work.
Yeah, that's not uncommon.
That has happened to me on multiple occasions with keys that I've gotten made. So, I mean, if they had not done this mock walkthrough, they would have been in another town because they got their co-host key and the guest key made at the same time.
Right.
So they would have had no keys.
Right,
even though they thought they were doing the right thing. Hey, we've got a co-host. We've got a backup.
Yeah.
But you got to have a backup to your backup.
Right.
And so, I made like four keys. I was like, we have to be prepared.
Like, we're on the ball. None of them worked. Usually like
no. So,
it must be. I think there's certain type of keys that if you have to copy it a certain way.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So listeners, if you have, if you don't upgrade yet to, keyless entry, be aware of that.
Yeah.
That was pretty much the biggest thing. And then also, I'll be honest, I sat there for quite some time trying to figure out their television set.
Oh, yeah.
Because they are a non-cable family, which I'm a no TV family, so I'm cool with that. But like, I was like, hey, I am lost right now. Like, I didn't know Chromecast. There was no instructions on how to do that. And I would have figured it out, but it was just like, dude, help me out here. like, can you tell me about that?
I didn't even think about it.
Right. So cable was something in Wi-Fi, making sure I could get on. Another thing, when it is your personal space, I talked to them about their towels and their sheets. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they're sleeping in those beds and using those towels and washcloths. So that's another recommendation that Sarah and I give is, if it is your personal space, I would purchase towels and washcloths and sheets that are specifically for
Airbnb guests,
for your guests.
That's nice.
And keep those to the side. And then we left a little note. I think, didn't you guys end up leaving a note or letting your guests know, like, they kept all the towels out on the bed, like, hey, these are yours.
Yeah.
And then obviously if they dig through your cabinets, nothing you can do about that. But, I think they'll get the hint.
We got a set for all the guests and then a backup set for all the guests as well for
perfect
the sheets.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So let's go back to the automation really fast, because I actually have a question.
Yeah.
So if you guys are out conducting business in LA, we're in Columbus, Ohio, that's where your Airbnb is, and you get a guest question, does your co-host, is she on your app, like on your Airbnb account? So would she answer for you, or are the two of you kind of like on call still for your guests?
It's always me right now. That's not a bad idea, just to have her log in and be able to see stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good plan. There have been times where we're like, if we're going camping or something, I know I'm not going to have service.
Yeah.
I say, here's our co-host number if you need to get a hold of her.
There you go.
Good.
Just as a backup. But if I know we're just going to be in a different town and I'm going to have service, I usually don't say that.
Right.
Annette knows I'm very obsessed with do not disturb on my phone. All my notifications are off except for Slack for our team and Airbnb.
Yeah.
Because if that pops up and there's an emergency or something, obviously
you
have
it's
to.
Serious.
Yeah.
Right.
And luckily, nothing's happened.
Yeah. So. I mean, I'll never forget one time Annette and I were actually conducting a podcast episode. So I have my phone off because I can't be there for guests while I'm recording an episode, right?
Right.
And some guest was having, sometimes you tell your guests a million times, like, look for the code in your email, and they still don't do that. So she couldn't get into the property using her smart code, which is the last four digits of her phone number. And so she was trying to call me and I wasn't there. And when I didn't answer the third time, she finally called my backup number, which is Nick.
Yeah.
So I think it's good to have that, even if you feel like you're tied to your phone, to have a backup number. Like, if I don't answer, I want you to get the answers that you need. So here's the other person that you can call.
That, that's a good tip for our listeners. Even if you don't have a co-host per se, get a family member or your bestie like, hey, can I put you on my listing as the backup, if you can't get a hold of me, phone number.
Yeah.
And then if they, if the person reaches out to them, you know, take them out for dinner or something.
Yeah.
Tell them thanks, but let them know like, hey, this is a last resort number, but you always want to give an option beside your own phone number there.
I actually don't give out my phone number. Is that normal to do that?
How
I usually just message at them through the app.
Good question. I know a lot of people, I do know some hosts, they don't give their phone number because they want all interaction to be saved on the Airbnb app.
Yeah, you don't want to miss anything.
Well,
or in case of like,
if in case there's any like question of how the stay was or taking care of an issue, it's all documented there.
Right.
So I do know hosts that specifically put in their listing, all communication must be via the Airbnb app.
Yeah.
So I'm old school. I give out my phone number.
I do too, because I feel like if you're at the door at 2 a.m., the last thing you want to do is like, although now my brain is wired to like that Airbnb sound.
It
is
like,
it's like, dude, it's like, what's wrong?
Right.
But I don't know. I feel like it gives people peace of mind to have a phone number to call to for like high, you know, intense situations, you know, quote
something
unquote,
super
intense.
Urgent. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a, I mean, so when things start to escalate between a guest and I, like if there's a question or if there's a complaint, it doesn't happen often, but I will make sure that's on the app. Or if I want to complain about, to a guest about something that's happening, I'll make sure it's on the app for that very reason of having like a paper trail.
Yeah.
But I leave my phone number.
Cody, are you upfront with your guests? Because every time that you have guests, you're most likely out of state.
Right.
Do you let them know that upfront? Like, hey, I'm away on business. Or do you just...
Just roll the dice.
Okay.
Only if, like I said, if we're going to be, if I know I'm not going to have service or I might not have service, I'll let them know. Or if we're, I don't know, sometimes like if we're out on the West Coast and then we're obviously 3 hours behind and if it's 8 a.m., we're still asleep. It's 5 a.m. on the West Coast.
Right.
Sometimes
right.
I'll let them know about the time change.
That's
time
that's
zone
excellent.
Change.
Because I know you know, you have some people that are hosts. I would always let them know that you have a co-host there nearby.
Yes.
Because if you're out of town or out of state or too much out
freedom.
Of country, you don't want, you know, any parties, U-Hauls pulling up, thing, you know, people getting sticky fingers when you're not around. Not that that happens, but I'm just saying, if someone knows that there's someone nearby, it's more so for
just
them
peace
to feel,
of mind for them too.
And for them to feel comforted, like, hey, if I need, you know, to get in, or if there's something going on, that there's someone there locally that can help them. I think it's more of that. So they know, oh, I'm just not here in this city all by myself. Like when you're at a hotel, you know, you can go down to the front desk.
Right.
If you're at someone's Airbnb, it's nice to know you have someone with a local area code there nearby that if you need something or have a question, emergency, they can help you out.
That's a good idea.
I love it.
Got some updates to make to our listing.
Yes. Okay. So let's talk about though the automations that you don't have. You don't have the review.
Correct.
Automated.
Which I don't know if there's a way to. I haven't looked into it yet.
Okay. Do you just copy and paste what you... Do you keep it in notes and just copy and paste it? Or do you leave personalized ones each time?
So usually there's no issues whatsoever. And our co-host, once she does the flip after they check out, will let us know. Just say, hey, this person was great. This person left trash everywhere. And I kind of base the review off of that. Because I mean, what are they going to... What am I really going to critique them on other than like the cleanliness of the place?
Well, and I was inspired by you back in the day when, you know, your co-host was... She really loved feeling invested in her entire turnover from being the first person to see the space after the guest left to being the last person to see the space before the next guest checks in. She actually valued that position.
Yep.
And it sounds like your co-host kind of does as well.
Yeah.
So if she creates her own Airbnb account, becomes your co-host, and she can just leave the review for you. I mean,
ooh, there we go.
If you want to be really hands off, let them leave the review. I
didn't know that they could leave the review.
Yes, a co-host can leave the review. And again, it's awesome because I'll be honest, I would get busy. I would forget. I had multiple listings. You know, when I was there cleaning them, when I cleaned them on my own, I would just do it right away. It was just part of my process. Well, when it wasn't part of my process anymore, I was like, ugh. So I just like Sarah said, I asked my co-host Betsy, I'm like, hey, would you mind? I actually gave her a little bit more money to do some messaging for me. I handed that over to her. And like Sarah said, it was awesome. Like, she liked it. She liked being able to review because she was there on site. She was the one seeing it with her own two eyes.
And yeah.
The only time I ever asked her to reach out to me is like, hey, if it isn't a 5-star,
let me know
because we should probably craft this a little bit different because when it's not a 5-star review, that's where my review focus goes to other hosts. I want to be able to warn them of the guest. So if something isn't 5-star, that's when I would get involved and leave, help leave the review and like craft the review.
And what's your methodology behind that? Because the worst case scenario that we've ever had is like, they didn't throw their trash away or put their dishes in the sink. And like, mm-hmm. we charge a cleaning fee for a reason and the place gets clean no matter what. So what am I really going to say?
Yeah. You know? I mean, it depends how picky you want to get. And I don't think other hosts, like if I'm going to welcome that guest next, it doesn't bother me that they didn't take out the trash that was part mm-hmm. of your instructions. But you could message them and say, hey, thanks so much for staying. As a heads up, we don't mind because you are paying a cleaning fee. It was part of our rules to have you do this and other hosts may not be as forgiving as we are with your sense. Review.
Yeah.
I'll sometimes see guests and their reviews are like 4.5. I'm like, what did you do to get 4.5? And I'll see like the host said something like, you know, they didn't take out their trash. And while I get it was part of your instructions,
I think
that's a little harsh.
I think we've said this before. I've actually swiped this from a host when I first started. This is the way that I love to put it and it's loud and clear to me. Because there is a difference between like someone just staying normal wear and tear and then like pretty much disregard for the place and like leaving trash everywhere and just kind of filthy. We say they left a heavy footprint.
That's my favorite.
And that basically means like, okay.
I could tell someone was there.
And there was like probably a little bit more scrubbing and, elbow grease having put into that clean and kind of just like, man, it was like,
you didn't care.
A rock and roll band having a party, so
you wouldn't want to go into their house.
Right. So it's a nice way of saying like, be prepared. You might have to like carve out some more time on your schedule. They're not going to be the guests where you're like, did anybody stay here? Like the people where it's like, they left it cleaner than I do. Like I'm like, wait, did they actually check in?
Right.
So I leave different reviews for that. So,
but that makes sense.
I think let's step up your automation game and have your co-host. And then I believe it makes them feel more invested. Like Sarah said, then they get to see their reviews. Mm-hmm. Like my co-host will screenshot all the time, sparkling clean. Like that makes her excited because she gets to see the positive reviews on her side. So if you're not sharing the reviews with your co-host, do that with them because it's such a nice thing to let them see.
We'll have to start that. I think an important part about why we have it automated as well as because it's kind of off of our minds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And because it's our personal space, like we're not doing this specifically for business reasons. Mm-hmm. Like we actually do live there and there's pictures of us. So I kind of like when we get on the road, like I don't have to think about it. I'm not wondering like, oh, I wonder what this guest based on their profile picture is doing in our home.
Right.
Like we don't have to worry about it. It's kind of, and I prefer that, like not having to, stress or think about it or overanalyze what they might be doing while they're staying.
Do you have your co-host clean for you? Even if, let's say you're gone for a weekend and you're going to come back home. Let's say it's just like Friday through Sunday. You're coming home Monday morning. Do you still have them turn over for you and clean it? So when you come back Monday, it's the way it was.
Yes.
That is another thing I highly recommend. Just like Cody just said, you can like make up all these stories of what was going on in your house. But
you'll
here's
never
the deal.
Know if it's clean and
if
ready
it's
for
clean,
you.
If it's clean, if it looks exactly the way that when you left it, you're not like, oh, they used my grandma's, whatever to like the
ignorance is bliss.
The blanket that's not supposed to be used, but it's like, well, it's in your, in your living room. Someone might use that blanket. So like little stuff like that. Again, thanks for visiting Tip. Let that turnover professional come in and turn it over for you. You're getting the cleaning fee anyways.
Yeah.
Let them. And it's nice to come home to a fresh, perfect
space. It is.
I
would say it's nice to have some extra money from the bookings to offset like our travel. But I think the best thing is that our place is clean almost all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ooh. It may have been cleaner than when you left it.
I'm very OCD. It's something that my wife and I butt heads about a lot. So the fact that every time we travel, before we leave and when we get back, it's always sparkling clean. It's really nice.
I like that.
Yeah. Well, that's why I was excited to have Cody on. Because I feel like, I don't want this to ever get to a point where our listeners think that we're only in it if you're like a full-time Airbnb business owner. You know what I mean? Like, because I think there's still, there is still a lot of value for hosts who do it when they travel. Or if they want to be, you know, bi-coastal or whatever it is that you want your life to be, Airbnb allows you to do that however you want to do it. And that you've, so to, you said before, can you leave an automatic review? If you were to subscribe to SmartBnB or other hosting platforms, you can. They are, I can have, I have automatic 5-star reviews go out to my guests unless I tell it to not do that.
Interesting.
And if the guest has yet to leave a review and we're like midway through the 2-week process of when the reviews are allowed, I will automatically send the guest like a, hey, so glad you stayed with us. If you're back in town, let me know. Love to offer you a discount. In the meantime, would love if you'd share your positive feedback with us. You know what I mean? No, that's great and all, but I pay for that service.
Yeah.
You can use, you this can is use what I did. Use your phone. Put a review that you'd like to leave for everybody in your notes section.
Yeah,
just copy and paste that bad boy.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about the money. Is it more? Is it less? Is it just so-so? Like you keep doing it.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, this is what I was explaining to my wife is that it's more than zero. I mean, we're going to be out of town anyways. We're going on these trips regardless. So like it's more than making nothing. So I would say overall, it's probably a little bit less than I expected.
Okay.
Based on other listings that I saw in Columbus, I thought our area would be a little higher priced. And when I have tried to adjust the price and try to go to a higher rate, we see a lot less traction. So I've tried to bridge the gap between like smart pricing and what I think it should be and like find some happy medium. So I'd say overall, it's like less than I expected, but it's still more than we were getting. It's still worthwhile for us to do. I mean, it's worthwhile to have gotten those extra items for the house and, you know, set up the automation and work with our co-host. Everything's been worth it.
Okay, we'll work. Sarah and I will help you with this price.
You said that. I'm like, now I feel challenged.
Yeah, audit our listing. Maybe I heard something wrong.
Yes. So Cody, this has been awesome, but I want to just like leave a cliffhanger. Cody has also stayed in some amazing places. TP. Recently.
Yeah. Are we going to do that? Or are we going to do a part two?
We're going to do a part two.
Oh, man. All right.
Of just about your stays because when he travels, he stays in Airbnbs.
Yes.
And I know he's been at a teepee in Las Vegas. And then he's another place that had like 26 beds.
We need
and
to get
like,
her on the podcast.
Yeah. Like,
yes. That one
and they
was
were
fun.
Adult bunk beds. I
have
feel
questions
like.
About laundry.
Yeah.
I also stayed at a lot in Joshua Tree that had an outdoor bed, which was interesting.
Okay.
That was fun.
So nice. We'll go through his account where he stayed and get those adventures on another podcast as a travel, like a guest that travels for business to a lot of places and he prefers to stay in Airbnbs. And I know he's going to start traveling with his dog because I just was on a flight with his dog recently.
Ah, he's the best.
We'll talk about pet friendly too of what we're going to do with Jackson.
And what I may or may not let people, I shouldn't say that. Never mind. Always pet friendly Airbnbs is what I say.
But we have to give a shout out and a plug to his company, Crate Media.
Yes.
You can find, tell everybody where they can find you.
Yeah, our site is crate.media. Social media is Crate Media. So yeah, full podcast production. No longer podcast masters, which is where Annette found us earlier.
Yes. But you will live in my phone as the podcast master forever.
Yes.
I would say the rebrand was worth it. But yeah, check us out. Check us out online.
Thank you for being on the show, Cody.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Super valuable. I can't wait to help people get their Airbnbs more automated. People feel like it's a ball and chain and it does not have to be.
So we're going to do that. We're going to get that PDF for you. We'll link to it in our show notes. This episode specifically, tell your friends about it. The ones that travel a lot, or maybe they only travel a couple times a year. This one is a valuable one. A lot of ours are very focused on, you know, multiple properties. But this is, I think, anyone anywhere could do this.
If you want to take away for your folks, I would say if anybody does an Airbnb and travels at least once a month, I would say it's worth it to just set it up. It takes 15 or 20 minutes. See if it works and then you can jump into the automation and the co-host and everything.
Little plug, Annette and I do have a checklist. Ultimate checklist that will, if you wonder what you should have in your Airbnb and you don't have to sit there and guess, we've got it for you.
And you probably, if it's your primary residence,
you probably have a lot of it.
You probably already have almost all of it.
Just make sure you double check those key copies.
Yeah, just get the keys. Make sure your spare
keys.
Just
rip the handle out and do the keyless entry. It's so much easier.
But even then, I have a backup key just in case, I don't know, like if the apocalypse comes.
Yeah.
Like,
I have a backup.
People still need a place to go and I don't know. Anyway, thanks, Cody.
Yeah. Of course. Thanks for having me. Oh,
thanks for listening.
I'm Sarah.
I'm Annette.
And we are Thanks for Visiting. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for this episode at thanksforvisiting.me. If you're looking to take your listing to the next level and show your guests how much you care, be sure to check out our line of thoughtful hosting products, from hosting checklists to custom mugs to toilet paper stickers. We've got you covered. And if you love our show, remember, sharing is caring. Please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Thanks for visiting.
Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.